And as you say, Robin, we are marching toward that debt ceiling deadline, October 17th. So what happens if Congress does not raise the debt ceiling by then? Could President Obama continue borrowing without that approval? Well, some experts in constitutional law say the 14th Amendment gives him that authority. The amendment was passed after the Civil War, and it was meant to ensure that the Union would pay its debts. It reads, quote, "The validity of the public debt of the United States authorized by law, including debts incurred for payments of pensions and bounties for services in suppressing insurrection or rebellion, shall not be questioned." For more on this, let's bring in Joseph Reissert, Associate Professor of Constitutional Law in the Department of Government at Colby College. He's with us from Waterville, Maine. Professor, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, does President Obama have the constitutional authority to continue borrowing even if Congress does not raise the debt ceiling?
Well, this is a matter of some dispute among constitutional law professors, but I have to say that my answer would be no.
No, he does not. Why not?
No, he does not. So Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution lists among the powers of Congress the power to borrow money on the credit of the United States. So we're all agreed that in the ordinary case, it's Congress that gets to authorize the issuance of the public debt. The argument has been made, though, that Section 4 of the 14th Amendment, which provides that the validity of the public debt of the United States authorized by law shall not be questioned, that that provision, by establishing a kind of special importance to the sanctity of the debt of the United States, might authorize the president in a sort of emergency situation where the inaction of Congress seemed to call into question the validity of the debt in violation of the constitutional guarantee, that might seem to create an opportunity for the president to exercise a kind of emergency power.
But you don't agree with that?
Well, I guess no, I don't. And for two reasons, one in practice and one as a matter of principle. As a practical matter, were the president to say, well, we've clearly hit this moment of national emergency. It appears that the inaction of Congress is going to call into question our creditworthiness. Therefore, I, on my own authority, am going to tell the Treasury to keep selling bonds. Well, suppose the president does that, and you're an investor. Do you really want to buy those bonds, not explicitly authorized by law in the ordinary sense? I mean, you might get your money back, but you might not. So I think as a practical matter, it's not likely to be a workable solution. And in principle, the argument for emergency power there is really relying, I think, not so much on the text of Section 4, which on its face doesn't empower the president to do anything. It really rests on a much more general understanding that the president ought to be able to act when the nation is facing something terrible to save the country, or a sort of general inherent emergency power kind of claim. But that argument only works, I think, if the effort is going to succeed or has some reasonable chance of succeeding. And I guess I don't see that the president-authorized bonds are likely to meet the emergency in any case.
Well, and it appears that the president's press secretary agrees with you. I want to play something from a recent White House press briefing. Jay Carney is talking about how the Obama administration is looking at this question. Let's listen.
Look, our view is the Constitution gives Congress, not the president, the authority to borrow money, and only Congress can increase the debt ceiling, which is why it's time that they do their job and raise the debt ceiling, authorize the Treasury to pay the bills that Congress racked up.
So, Professor, what about the idea that's been floated of minting a trillion-dollar coin?
Good heavens. So, as I understand it, there is a statute out there that authorizes the Treasury to issue coins in any denomination. And the upshot of that is, so in principle, the Treasury could decide that this some little hunk of platinum is going to be worth $1 trillion and put it in the account of the United States government and then have the government sort of pay its regular debts on the basis of having $1 trillion there. That seems like it's too clever by half in the sense that the markets will understand that it's just a kind of phony inflationary manufacturing of money out of nothing. And either we're going to actually return to the ordinary sale of bonds to finance our debt, or we're going to have some terrible crisis, I think. And I wonder if it just wouldn't spook the markets even more than just admitting we're going to have to prioritize payments and try to pay what we can because the inflows don't match the outflows.
So just to be clear, what you're saying is that the only way out of this really is for a deal to be made between the two sides. There's nothing the president can do on his own if Congress doesn't raise the debt ceiling.
It's hard to see what he could do. The Republicans in Congress insist that he ought to be prioritizing, with the revenues coming into the Treasury, payment of interest and principal on the debt, on the theory that our inflows ought to cover those expenses. And then what that would mean is paying either with IOUs or just deferring payment or going late on all the other kinds of obligations that the government has to pay. So that might avoid the worst kind of default in the marketplace, but it would still be failing to pay our bills.
Would it be constitutional for the president or the administration to decide which bills to pay?
Well, here's the problem. So the president has a constitutional duty to take care that the laws be faithfully executed. The problem is he'd be presented with a situation where Congress, on the one hand, says, on an ongoing basis, you need to pay out all of this money, and you need to pay out more money than we're taking in taxes. And there's another law over here that says, but there's a limit to how much you can borrow. Well, the commands of those two laws conflict with one another. And that's really the source of the problem we're in right now. So I guess I am appealing in a way to a sort of inherent emergency power of the president. He's been told to take care that two conflicting laws be enforced to prioritize payments would be one way for him to try to resolve what's really an impossible situation he's put in.
Do you think that this combined with the government shutdown represents a constitutional crisis?
Constitutional crisis is a strong word. I don't think we expect our form of government to come crashing down. It's obviously not a good thing when instead of the ordinary process of negotiation, we have negotiations seemingly broken down such that both sides are entrenched in positions with the result that we're letting the government or parts of the government go unfunded and potentially facing a default. So that's very bad. Would I call it a constitutional crisis? I'm not sure.
Well, what would you call it?
Sort of a terrible breakdown in our ordinary political system.
Joseph Reissert is Associate Professor of Constitutional Law at Colby College. Professor, thanks so much for joining us.
It's been my pleasure.
Funding for Here and Now comes from GEICO, offering a variety of insurance products, including auto, renters, boat, and motorcycle. More at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO.